following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Turn 7 of A Worthy Opponent, a Hearthstone-based podcast. I am Black Lace.
And I'm Autumn Spain. And you didn't talk over the music.
I know, that's because you came and waved frantically at me and said, "Don't say anything, don't say anything." So I kept my mouth shut. So I'm going to start off tonight because I promised our listeners I would be discussing that I would play the Priest deck this week because I don't like the Priest deck, and I did what I promised. I played the Priest deck. I did a little bit of research, found a deck that I'm going to actually share with everybody in a little bit. So get out your pens and your paper. I will actually be giving you the deck that I used. Anybody who is in beta right now and has gotten past level 10 with their priest will be able to do this because all of these cards are the soulbound cards. There is a little bit of a tweak to one of them where you can change it for the light spawn if you want, and I'll give you that little tweak. I changed one card out for that, and that is an uncommon, but I was able to play this deck against many opponents, and I have to tell you how it went.
Except you really don't want them to get out a pen and pencil, since half of them are probably listening while they're driving.
Okay, don't listen. Yeah, don't write this down while you're driving, but when you get home to a safe place, then do it.
Especially if you're driving in the snow.
Like we were today.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun.
Well, not so much fun. Did you know snow is like hair?
It makes you go gray?
No, snow is like hair.
How's it like hair?
Jerry Seinfeld described hair as being this thing that's lustrous and beautiful, and you want to caress it, and you admire it, and you could do all kinds of things with it to create beauty. But you get one hair, just one, in your food, and it's an object of revulsion.
Correct.
And it's just disgusting. Well, I feel the same way about snow. I like to look at it out the window. I like to see it on the trees. But if I have to drive in it, then it is pure evil spawn.
I love looking at the snow, but I'm with you. I'd rather be sitting curled up in a window looking out than actually driving and looking out that window. So I hear you. I hear you.
Well, we almost couldn't record tonight. Or I was afraid we couldn't because driving home from work was so horrible. So we left early.
I know. You left early. We had a half an inch of snow.
You left 5 minutes early.
Okay, fine. So, my priest deck. Just to let you know, the very first time I tried this priest deck, I was very excited because during turn one, I stole the Druid's Innervate. And Innervate is a card that gives you 2 mana, which allowed me on turn two to cast a 3-mana card, which was my 5/5 light spawn. So I was feeling all really proud of myself. I had a 5/5 light spawn on the second turn, and then the Druid killed it, and it was all over from there on. That was the only game I lost. I played a total of, I have to admit, I said I would play the priest a lot. I don't like the priest, so I gave you 8 games. I won 7 of those 8 games, and in fact, of those 7 that I won, I had 5 people concede, and they didn't only concede at the end of the game, they were conceding at the middle, because the length of the game, I think, frustrates people. The fact that they see a priest lately frustrates people. But yep, I won 7 out of 10 with this deck, and as I said, I had 5 people concede. Speaking of that, Autumnsbane, you had an interesting thing happen, because you tried playing the priest this week too, didn't you?
I did, because I know I spent the last 2 weeks railing about the priest. And so I said, let me see what it's all about. And the first few games, I did lose as I was trying to get used to it. I find the priest deck, if you get a bad opening draw, you're kind of screwed. But most of the time, there are so many good cards that work well with other cards that the synergy is just there on so many levels that you win a lot. And I did. I won like 10-12 games with the priest. I got, just before the recording though, I lost one to a Murloc deck. It was actually quite funny, and I'm glad to see that this got done to a priest, even if the priest was me. My opponent called out Illhouse Mana Storm on the first turn. Well, the advantage of getting a 4/4 out on the first turn is pretty high, so you gotta get something back.
How did they get a 4/4 creature out on the first turn?
On the first turn, he's able to call out Millhouse Mana Storm, but there's a price to pay. All of the opponent's spells are free, not the minions, but the spells are free. So I had several spells in my hand. I was able to Mind Blast him for 5, but the rare that I had that took quite a lot of mana to cast was the one that enabled me to take any card from his deck and put it directly into play. So I got this Murloc that gave all other Murlocs a bonus. Of course,
okay,
you
were able to get one of his cards into play automatically, but you couldn't. So now you have a card in play that you can't have control over, really. If you don't want it, you can't pull it back.
That's right. I can't undo a card that I've called
okay.
out.
Okay.
So is the Murloc War Leader. All other Murlocs have +2/+1, and it's a 3/3 creature. That's what I got for free from his deck. So he immediately goes, thank you. I'm like, okay, here it comes.
Oh.
Bam, bam, bam. Bunch of Murlocs that all now have +2 and +1, and one of those Murlocs gave them all charge. So he rammed over me, and I did... use that spell that did 2 damage, Holy Nova, I think it is, but at one point wiped out 7 Murlocs at one time. But he just kept pulling Murlocs out of everywhere. I think he had them in his ears and behind his armpits or something.
And you had a card that bumped his Murlocs.
Yeah, well, I got rid of that card quickly by trading it with one of the Murlocs on the other side.
Oh, but I would have just tried to suicide it.
But I will tell you my experience with the priest, other than the high win rate, because I've been playing the Hunter a long time. My win rate is high with the Hunter because I'm practiced at it. This is a deck that I've been playing just a couple of days, and I was winning like crazy. I've never been able to win so fast with a class before, but I've never seen so many people just concede to me so much.
It's the fear factor.
Yeah, I called out a 1/7 creature with taunt. I doubled its health to 14. I matched its health to its attack, and it became a 14/14. I attacked him for 14 points of damage. And this creature's got taunt, remember. So his creatures can't attack me. They have to go for it. So he says, okay, let me call out one of those 8/8 tree guys. This was a druid I was playing. So an 8/8 with taunt comes out. I steal it from him. Before it even lands on my side of the table, he concedes.
And had a 14/14 with taunt and stole his 8/8 tree.
Correct.
Ow. I can imagine the words he was saying to you at the other side of the computer. Good thing there are not a lot of emotes.
Yeah, he's probably calling me the same thing I've called many other priests behind the scenes. But then the guy yesterday conceded. I put out one of those priestesses, 1/3. They can heal, draw a card. And then on the second turn, I did a Mind Blast. 5 points of damage for 2 mana. And then before the spell even landed to take his life away, concede. I think
he probably just lost to whips previously and just had enough.
There's psychological warfare with the priest that just make people say, I'm not going to sit here for 25 minutes playing a game that inevitably will end in the priest stealing all my cards and winning.
Right.
I think that's what it is. That's
right.
Why people concede.
And they know. They know. Like, and we're going to talk about the the changes that are coming. We've got some breaking news we're going to discuss in a little while, but since we're talking about the priest, I have already mentioned that mind control, which is right now an 8 casting cost and lets you steal somebody else's card, is going to be going up to 10. There's also talk that they're going to try to eventually make it a rare as well, because it's just so powerful. The thing about that card, it's a priest card. It's the card's important for the fear factor. Because you have that card, anybody who's playing a priest can potentially have the card. Anybody who's playing against the priest knows that they have the potential to have this card. So now you're afraid to cast your cards. So if you're sitting there with, yes, they'll say it again, Ragnaros in your hand, and you know a priest has just hit his 8 mana, you're not going to want to cast your 8 mana card, because he's just going to steal it. So your way around this is start thinking about using bait cards. Bait cards are cards that you're going to make him think, okay, maybe that he doesn't have anything more powerful. Let's, I'm going to steal his 5/3 taunt creature. He steals that, then you throw out your big gun. So maybe you can get him to use his mind control before you really do it. I find myself holding my big cards now until I see those mind controls come out, because, as I said, it's a fear factor.
Yeah, and the fear factor is legitimate. There are a lot of things to be afraid of, but again, you have to have the right cards, like with any deck. There are a lot of heroes that I've played where if you get a bad draw, you are screwed. But I've found that any turn that I have a bunch of 5 casting cost cards in my hand, and none of the little ones except the ones that go on other minions, you know, I was just, okay, there's no way I'm going to win this. It seemed like if I was able to get a cleric out in the first turn, I would win, but if the cleric never came out until later in the game, or not at all, that's when I would lose. But still, a pretty high win rate. And I read on the forums about some guy, and I don't know if he was lying, he claimed he got all the way to like 3-star diamond. In one day.
I saw that too. Yep, I saw that too. So, for those of you who were scrambling to get your pen and paper, or those of you who are driving or jogging or whatever, and have now gone and downloaded our podcast and are going to write it down later, here are the cards. The cards, mind you, are a basic deck. All of these cards are soulbound. None of these cards are the expensive cards. This deck has been known to take out legendaries very easily. I did swap one card for an uncommon. I will explain to you which that is, but there are going to be 2 of each card. There are 18 minions. They are the Chillwind Yeti, the Darkscale Healer, the Gnomish Inventor, the Ironfur Grizzly, the Northshire Cleric, Novice Engineer, River Crocolis, however you say it, the Senjin Shieldmaster, the Shattered Sun Cleric. Those are your minions. Your spells are going to be Holy Nova, Holy Smite, Mind Control, Power Word Shield, Power Word Death, and Power Word Shield, Shadow Word Death, and Shadow Word Pain. Those are your 30 cards. This was actually provided by our pair, who was someone who posted in the forums. He also suggested, which is something that I did, that you can swap out some cards. Now, the card I swapped out took out one of the Chillwind Yetis, and I put in the Lightspawn. He actually suggested doing it 2, but I only had 1 Lightspawn, so that's where my Lightspawn came in for that one game. Again, I took this deck, basic deck, all our soulbound cards, nothing fancy, no legends. I was kicking butt. I really was. And that's the deck.
So in answer to people who say that, you know, you need a lot of money, you need to buy a lot of cards, you have to play for a long time so that you can enchant the cards, you can win with basic decks. And I don't think that's a universal statement, but in the case of this deck and some others that have been out there, it is true. Skill trumps equipment. Anybody who's played World of Warcraft, has seen these guys who are under gear join their raid and out DPS the people with the best gear. Skill has a lot to do with this game, but so does luck, and so does the cards you have in your hand.
Yep, and yeah, I as said, proof positive. 7 out of 8 games and 5 people conceding. That's pretty powerful, considering there's the only card I had 1 uncommon, and that was it. There were no rares, nothing. So, I don't know that it's broken. I wouldn't say it's broken. I'm just going to say it's a powerful deck. There's a lot of symbiosis here. There are cards that work beautifully off of each other. It's like he would cast one thing and I'd be able to kill it with a card that kills things under 3 or over 5. He'd cast something else and my 2 little minions would jump up and down on it. He'd have some minions out and suddenly I had a bunch of creatures with taunt. And it just was tried and true every time. It's just incredible. It really works very well. Okay, moving on off the priest. Did you have anything else to say about the priest? Because I'm pretty well priested out. I want to go back to my mage.
No, but just to let people know, it's not just about the priest. I said I was going to try and play some other classes besides the hunter. And, when you do this, remember to click off your ranked play. You really want to learn your new decks without being ranked. I mean, I'd forget to do that, and I just know that's screwing with my MMR. And then I say, oh, let me turn it off. Then I'd win a couple of games, get cocky, turn it back on, and then start losing. Something about it being turned off that makes me win, I guess. But I did okay with the Rogue. The Rogue is a very good hero class in terms of synergy. And it was a little learning curve, but once I learned to start playing the cards well together, I was having a pretty good winning streak. Of course, having Edwin Van Cleef was like the big finishing move, because being able to get a 12-12 creature out based on all the other cards you played is pretty awesome. The thing I'm still trying to wrap my brain around, and I'm going to continue working on this, is the Shaman. Now, either the Shaman is just so unusual to play, and I just have to wrap my brain around it better, or it's weak. But I had some good wins when I got just the right cards and the right circumstances. But that whole overcharge thing where you're borrowing mana against your next turn, there's got to be some special skill there that I haven't developed yet. So I'll keep working on that. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here on my, what is it? I'm up to 268 wins, but still haven't passed two star gold. Forget master. And I can't wait until they reset the whole tier, because every time I hear about or read about the way the ranking system's going to be, I get excited.
I can't wait. We'll be discussing that in a second, but we had a question from the chat room from Blackhawk666 wanting to know, where's the rank button? That's in the upper right-hand corner of your screen when you're going into play mode, is it?
Now, what I do, yes, in play mode is where you'll find it. And that's one of two places you'll find it. You'll also find it when you hit the little exclamation point where the quest log is, view your current progress. In the upper left-hand... No, I'm sorry. That just shows you your ranks. Let's go back again.
Play mode. And
the play mode is the
like
only place
Black Lace
could,
said.
Like Black Lace said, the only place where you could turn it on and off. No, I was thinking because it shows the sword and shield and
right.
Everything the same as it does on that other screen. But there's a little hexagon right next to it, to the right of your medal. And it's got an X there, and you click the X, and then suddenly your medal goes away and it says unranked mode. And, you will be able to get credit for wins and you will be able to get credit for quests, but it does not count against your rank. So if you've got something and you're not sure you're going to win with it or not confident in the deck, keep the unranked mode going until you develop that skill and confidence. Otherwise, it's really going to hurt you, because every time you lose, that's that many more you have to win to go up in rank.
Mm-hmm. And, well, let's see. The next thing I think we want to talk about is there was an interview this week.
Yes, Ben Brode, the senior game designer for Hearthstone, recently did an interview, and he had some fun things to talk about, and so we want to talk about that interview. This just happened like last week.
Right. One of the things that he had was talking about was he had questions of people asking whether or not there were going to be any new mechanics. And we got to keep people reminded that, unfortunately, not everybody's in beta yet. Unfortunately, the game's not out yet. There are still so many people who want to play this game that they're not thinking of any new mechanics at this time, because these mechanics are the ones that are going to be going out when the game is actually released. We've been playing it for so long, some of us, that it, to us, it's been out forever, and it's still done. Got to keep that in mind. It's just, it's not ready yet. Autumn, any comments about that? What kind of mechanics? I can't even think of any mechanics.
No, I'm happy dealing with the mechanics we have. I don't want them throwing a bunch of whole new things. Because think about Warcraft, World of Warcraft. You've got all these characters that are designed to play well, and then they have an expansion, and out comes a Death Knight, or out comes a Monk, and suddenly you've got this new class in there, and the players playing them have to learn all the mechanics, but then the game system has to be redesigned to balance them so that they're not too powerful, like the Death Knight was at the beginning of that expansion, or they're not too weak, like at some point some of the monks became toward the end of the expansion. It's every time you throw another mechanic into a game, that's a whole new system of rebalancing. I think they're finally on their way to getting this game balanced, and I don't want to see something upset the apple cart.
Right, and also, as you know, as some people are going to be new, their new beta keys just went out last week, and there are going to be some more new beta keys going. I think they're a little behind. They were hoping to go to open beta soon, and I haven't heard any announcements yet. But they're not going to go throwing the new mechanics in the loop, because we've got new people starting too. One of the things they do want to do when they finally do go live that they were talking about, they were talking about actually pacing the releases that are coming out, because people are already asking about what's going on with the next release. One of the things they want to do is they're going to have adventures between expansions. And with the adventures, they're going to be giving out 20 to 30 cards. And you're going to have single player missions. And the single player missions are going to earn you new cards that are just towards that adventure. What do you think of this?
Well, it sounds fun. This is a game that, based on the limit of cards we have to play with, that people who are playing real hardcore, who are playing multiple games every day, can get bored with quickly with the limitation on the number of cards. If you take other games like Magic the Gathering, you didn't have a whole bunch of people playing one color decks. You had the advantage of being able to mix and match colors. I can make a white and black deck, I can make a white and green deck, I can make a white and blue deck, or I can make a tricolor deck. We're limited in this game in having a class be only its class. I can't play paladin cards with my priest, I can't play rogue cards with my warrior.
I like that. I actually like that.
And that's what makes the game different, and that's what makes it fun. But it's also more limiting. So you've got a certain number of cards, a certain number of ways to play them. I understand that when Magic the Gathering and Wyvern and X-Files and Xena and Pokemon and all of those card games that came out so long ago came out, there was really very little internet presence. There were not websites where you can just go, oh, let me look this up. Oh, here's a deck I can copy. I don't have to worry about creativity. I could just copy it and play it. And that's what's happening with this game. A lot of people are just copying each other's decks and trying to win games based on somebody else's game design work. Whereas those other card games, you had to sit there with a pile of cards and figure out what worked, and through trial and error play. But they usually had more cards available and more options of how to play them. In addition to making decks that were limitless in size, I had decks in Magic.
Oh my god, 300, 400 card decks. I saw people.
300 card decks?
Yes.
And they played differently every time. Of course, if you went into a tournament, you wanted to play that 60-card deck that played exactly the same every time, because that's your strategy to win. But that's the difference between fun decks and competitive decks. My point is, they need to do things like these adventures to keep the game fresh and ever-changing. Because you know what happens at the end of a Warcraft expansion? Everything is old, people unsubscribe, and then they come back when there's something fresh and new, a new patch or a new expansion. So I think anything they throw into this game to mix things up and give us more variety is really going to help it.
That's true. That's true. The other thing that they were talking about doing to make things more compelling is we were starting to talk about the ranked play. They're having three very important items with the ranked play. One of them is that they're going to be having specific ranked card backs. They're going to change the artwork on the back of the cards. Another one is that if you win 500 games with a single type of hero, you'll get a golden version of that hero. And lastly, that they are going to get to the point where you have a legend rank. The top rank will be legend, and that rank, it's going to tell you exactly how you are doing in comparison to other players. It's going to let you know exactly how good you are.
Yeah, somebody's going to be walking around with the number one on their screen, and people are going to play him and say, wow, this guy is currently the best guy in the game.
Yep. They've just actually released, I know, the North American top 50, I think. They just released it on the web.
They've been doing that every couple of weeks.
Yeah. So it's exciting, but ranked play, just like with the World of Warcraft arena, they are going to have wipes at the end of, I think they're thinking of it doing it monthly, but 500 games in 1 month, wow. 500 wins in 1 month.
If you're really good, then it's probably at least 600 or 700 games you have to play.
Exactly. And now, like, you see how often I play. I was promising everybody that I'd be playing my priest deck this week, and I had a killer priest deck that I discussed earlier, and I played, what, 8 times? So,
but I don't think it's per month, Blacklace. I don't think...
I don't know if they've set a time to it.
The ranking resets each month, they said, or at least that's one of the things they talked about. But that 500 wins to get the gold version, there's no time limit set on that. So that's not 500 in a month. That might be 500 over 6 or 7 months. And there was a big debate about this on the forums, people saying, do you know how many times I would have to play this game in order to get that? And there should be something to strive for. Everybody wants immediate gratification all the time.
Yes, I want my golden mage. I do. I admit it. I want to see her in gold.
Yeah, well, I want to see golden cards too, but I don't mind that it'll take me a long time to get them.
Other things he discussed were some of the card tweaks they were going to be doing, and the idea of whether or not you have luck and skill, and how they actually work with each other. Do you think they have anything to do with each other?
I think what has to do with each other?
Luck and skill.
Luck and skill. I think that, if you're truly skillful, you make your own luck. But definitely bad luck can hurt you. I suppose the real answer to that is a skillful deck builder will take all bad luck into account when they put the cards in. I don't want to put too many of this card in because, you know, I could have a bad draw, or I don't want to put too many of that in. As I mentioned earlier on the show, I had a couple of cards in my opening draw that were high casting costs, and a couple of others that affected minions, and I had no minions. So I'm going to have to go back and look at that deck and see if I need more minions, because there are decks in this game where you have, you know, maybe too many spells. I ran into that with my shaman. I'm like, well, there's so many great spells, but wait, I have no minions. I need some minions. And then you have to figure out, well, which of these awesome spells do I have to get rid of? So, yeah, skill can override luck. but really bad luck, I think that's hard to overcome.
Right, and that the basic priest deck that I mentioned, I don't know how luck really features into that. I think with that particular deck, it's designed that you're going to get a bunch of cards out that you can use immediately. The breakup of that deck is very little of them are actually high mana cost cards. 1, 2, 3, and 4 mana cost. There are 6 cards for each of those. There are only 4 cards that are 5 mana costs, and there are only 2 cards that are above 7, and we know which those 2 cards are. Of course, they're mind control. Mm. So really, it's a very fast deck, too. So I'm sure you can get an unlucky draw with that one, but again, skill comes into play and knowing when to zap that enemy and when not to. Or when to go ahead and cast a certain card, or when to just card and just hold it in your hand.
Well, just... Ben had said that that a game like this needs its share of luck and its share of skill. You have to have both. If there's no luck element, then it takes away some of the mystique. It takes away some of the ability for David to beat Goliath. You know, there you need luck. And I mean, look at poker. Poker is, by some people's definition, a game of pure skill, and then, you know, I blame my luck when I lose at it all the time.
Yep. Well, there are. Yeah, I've had hands where I just looked at it and said, or you get 3 cards that you draw, and they're all 4, 5, and 6 mana costs. So I will discard them, hoping to get lower things I can cast right away, and then I'll get another 3, 4, or 5. I'm like, or not 3, but you know, 4, 5, 6 again, and I'm like, no, I can't do anything the first 2 turns.
I have a pretty standard strategy that, unless it's a card that I absolutely must have to win, and even most cases I get rid of that too. If it's got more than a 3 casting cost, I get rid of it in my initial draw. I want to be able to play something right away. Or if it's a 1 or 2 casting cost and I know I need other cards for that to work with, I get rid of them too. You know, it doesn't matter how good or how powerful they are. If they cost too much, I'm not going to need them now, and there's probably a 1 in 15 chance that I'll get them later in the game, and the odds just get better than that. I say 1 in 15, assuming there's 2 of that card in a 30-card deck.
Mm. True enough. And that, I don't know, were there other things you wanted to talk about his interview, or does that pretty much sum up the interview?
There were other things, but nothing really exciting.
Okay, we do have something exciting. We have breaking news.
This just in.
Yes.
Like 6 hours ago.
Yep, 6 hours ago, there was a blue post by Auratel that says that there is going to be another patch coming. And be calm. There is no wipe foreseen. There is no mention of a wipe. They did do some obvious big changes to some of these cards that we're going to go through. They're also enforcing a cap of 100 of gold per day, which right now we don't have a cap, but they're going to cap gold at 100. That's coming in the upcoming patch. It will not affect gold that is earned through quests, arena, or achievements. It's pretty much, I'm thinking it's only the gold that you win 3 and you get 10 gold.
I'm pretty sure. That way, if somebody just, you know, has the day off from work and they're going to sit there and play all day long, they're not just going to end up with a wealth of gold that they can buy a bunch of decks with. I'm not really sure the design decision behind that. I don't know why they want to limit the gold. Well, you use that gold to get into arenas. You use that gold to buy decks.
Yeah, there's a message there, and I'm wondering if there's some sort of a hack or something that they're talking about, because it says this cap is intended to combat certain methods of gold acquisition that violates the terms of service. The spirit of play is extremely important to us. We will continue to monitor gold acquisition closely to ensure fun and enjoyment, an enjoyable game environment for everyone. So I'm wondering if there's actually some sort of a hack going on.
I don't know. I downloaded an app called Hearthstone cheats. So like, just so I could see what it was about. No, I didn't intend to cheat. I just wanted to see what the app was about. And it was a nice little database of cards, had all the cards in full pretty pictures. You could sort them by hero class. And obviously designed by someone in Asia, because every time it changed screens, there'd be Asian writing on it. But everything else was in English. But there was nothing in it that I could find that had anything to do with cheating. So I kept the app only for the database purpose, in case I want to look up a card while I'm at work or something. Mm. Not that I would ever do that at work.
Never.
But
you sure will not be playing this game when you're actually, you know, at work once it comes to the iPhone.
The iPhone, I would never be playing Hearthstone.
Of course now. Not.
My job would not allow me to sit there for 20 minutes in one spot to play a game.
No. Okay, so there are cards that have come under fire lately that we've talked about here. We've mentioned possible upcoming watch list cards. We've mentioned the mind control. They are going to be tweaking some cards. They want to change as few cards as possible over the course of time, but they felt that there are six cards in particular that they needed to address. They are the Shattered Sun Cleric, the Flame Imp, which I was very happy to hear that this is getting a little tweak, and the Argent Commander, as well as Mind Control, Starving Buzzard, and Unleash the Hounds. Now, we spoke about Mind Control, Starving Buzzard, and Unleash the Hounds last week.
Well, we didn't talk about what the Unleash the Hounds is going to be.
Now, that's pretty big. Do you want to take that one because you're Mr. Hunter?
No, because I don't have the stats in front of me like you do.
Well, let's talk about the Unleash the Hounds. I'll give you the stats so that you can actually talk about it. Unleash the Hounds has been reworked and now reads, for each enemy minion, summon a 1/1 hound with charge. The old version of Unleash the Hounds allowed the hunters, they say, I haven't seen this happen, but allowed the hunters to possibly win in a single turn, starting with no minions on the board and just running you over. The new version adds some fun, some new card combos for the hunters, and they hope to make their ability to AOE a little bit better with this. So that's what happened. For each enemy minion, you're summoning a +1/+1 hound with charge. Go, Autumnsbane.
Well, first of all, I'm skeptical that you can have a one-turn win with no minions on the board if the other player is at full health. They must mean when it's at reduced health, because with the number of creatures you have to call out to be given +1 and then still have that one left over to cast the card, I can't see you doing 30 damage like that. If the guy is a little wounded, then yes, I've seen it happen. I've had it happen to me. I've done it to other people. But this new substitute that they're coming up with, they're trying to sugarcoat it and say it gives fun options. It's weak. So my opponent has a 2/3, a 3/5, an 8/8, and a couple of 2/2s. And so now I get to put out a whole handful of 1/1s that'll be gone with a single Fan of Knives or Whirlwind. It doesn't sound like it's exciting. It doesn't sound like it's fun. Just say the card is broken, we're going to remove it, rather than give us that crap in replacement.
Well, I don't know. If you play it, you might find out you like it, depending on what cards you use with it. I mean, there might be advantages. You're just going to have to play around with it and tweak it a little bit. There is a lot of opposition on the forums about the card change. A lot of people were very unhappy with this news. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that works out. The other cards that changed with the Shattered Sun Cleric, they're just changing it from a 3/3 to a 3/2. The Argent Commander is going from a 4/3 to a 4/2. The cards are good for their costs. They feel that they currently need that they're slightly above the curve in power compared to cards of similar cost and type. Players end up choosing these cards for the deck much more often than other cards for the same mana cost because they're just that much better. They want to increase the variety of cards, so this is being tweaked more to have variety.
Well, that's good, because all the decks are starting to look the same.
And these are 3 and 6 mana cost cards.
Yeah. I don't, if it's a theme deck like a Murloc deck or something, then you know it's going to be all Murlocs. But with that aside, the other decks are starting to become predictable. I can probably guess at least 80% of the minions that are going to show up in your typical Paladin deck, because same ones all the time, you know? It's because of these abilities, and people shouted on the forums as you got to be crazy not to put this particular minion in your deck because of how much value it has. And so I guess nerfing is good. We'll see if people really start to use other minions instead, because that, some of the cards you just named, even with the nerf, are still going to be good enough to use a lot.
Right. But they're hoping that it'll at least balance out with other cards that are 3 or 6 mana cost that may make you pause and say, oh, let me take this one out. Because they want to see people using a variety of the cards. It makes it more interesting when you're not knowing what to expect from your opponent.
And the cards you use also vary based on, what skill level you're in. We use that Elven Archer all the time when we had our new decks. And then you get to the more advanced decks and you don't see people using it as much.
Oddly enough, the same goes for the Murloc decks. A lot of people think that the Murloc decks is more a beginner kind of setup than advanced play.
Yeah, at the Diamond and Master level play, I'm told there are 0 Murloc decks out there.
Murlocs are just annoying. They were annoying in WoW. They're annoying in this card game. Thank you. All right, the other cards that are changing, the Flame Imp, which is what I had been... I want to just mention the Blood Imp is on the watch list. The Flame Imp's battle cry is going to be changed. That's a different one. The Flame Imp is actually changing. Instead of dealing 2 damage, it's now going to deal 3 damage. And the real reason they're doing this is they feel that the Warlocks have a very strong early game. It's a small change to the Imp. It should help a small amount. There are other cards that would help the Warlock maintain early board advantage. They're keeping a close eye on that, but they're going to allow the Flame Imp Battle Cry to do 3 damage instead of 2. The card that I had mentioned was the Blood Imp, which is not changing here. Let me just stress that. This isn't part of the blue post. It's kind of going off on a tangent. That one is now going to be on their watch list. That little sucker comes out with stealth. And the Blood Imp, what he does is he does, he gives all your minions plus 1 health. To health. Yes. And you can't attack him except with an AoE. And he can sit there, and if the Warlock gets 2 of them out, every creature he's got and every creature that comes out is going to have plus 2 to the health. That can get very tedious. So I am hoping they are going to actually tweak him somewhat.
Yeah, and the thing is, with most of the AoE spells, you want to make sure there's a lot of creatures out before you waste it. And a lot of the people who play that imp against me, I don't know if it's by design or luck, they don't tend to have a board full of critters out at the same time. And so it's like, I don't want to waste this now. And then they kind of coax you into using your AoE to get rid of it. And then like, okay, now I'll put out my second one with a whole bunch more. There's a lot of mind games, as we talked about with the priest. A lot of mind games go on here. I guess it's like bluffing in poker. Card games have that psychological aspect to them.
If you're psychic, you're in trouble, because you're always one.
Right.
Okay. Again, we mentioned mind control mana is going up from 8 to 10. They basically feel that raising the mana cost will allow the players to have a couple of more turns to play with their big minions. So you may be able to get out your big guns for a turn or two, and it may even give you time to figure out, okay, I've got my 8/8 creature out or my 10/10 creature out. He's going to be taken over as soon as that priest gets to 10 mana. Maybe I'm going to put a new card in my deck so that when it gets taken over, I can nuke it immediately. I would do that. I would put a card in my deck if I was able to like just destroy another person's minion immediately, thinking that I might be playing a priest. See, there I am, but just like priest fear.
Priest fear. Do you have to see your shrink about that?
I might. Again, the hunter gets hit. The starving buzzard was a 2/2 creature. It's going to be a 2/1. They felt that at some ranks, hunter was a bit strong versus the druids, mages, and rogues. This change, they feel, is for the starving buzzard will help even the playing field against those classes in particular. Now, you play the starving buzzard. That adds to what?
It lets you draw a card every time you play a beast.
Well, so does the cleric every time you heal.
Right. But, you know, the starving buzzard can't heal itself. And the priestess is a 1/3. She's harder to kill. She's also 1 casting cost, whereas the buzzard is a 2 casting cost. So when you call that buzzard out, you have to make sure you have enough other beasts in your hand to make it worth your while on the first turn. Or, you know, even... This is going to destroy that combo I talked about last week where I used a snake trap and I put the buzzard down and somebody attacks it and out pop my snakes. This is going to be more something that people will hit with their direct damage now. You know, like the those one point of damage spells that the shaman or the druid with its claw with one, or especially the mage, pop one. No, you playing a mage, you're never going to play that now unless you have a whole bunch of beasts in your hand. But right. Since nobody will be playing Unleash the Hounds anymore, they'll just be saving up their beasts for the buzzard.
I'm telling you, there's going to be some sort of symbiosis that you can get with the Unleash the Hounds. You just have to sit down and really look at it.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure. So those are the changes.
They're going to nerf the priest and they're going
to
nerf the hunter.
Priest needs to be nerfed.
Guaranteed next set of patches or the space between the next two patches will be everybody raging against the mages.
Right. And well, that's how it is with Warcraft itself, with the main game. I mean, that people rage as soon as you start doing anything. But I don't know, with the priests... they are probably going to get hit with something, but it's just the way of the cards. They're always going to be tweaking and always fixing it, and that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. So that comes down the Shattered Sun Cleric, the Argent Commander, the Flame Imps, the Mind Control, Starving Buzzard, and Unleash the Hounds are all going to be tweaked, and then there's the 100 gold cap. Those are the changes that we're going to be seeing that they're hoping is going to increase versatility and creativity. And that was the blue post of about 6 hours ago.
Now, remember, did they say it was the next patch, right? Those are patch notes for the
next
patch.
That's correct.
So what they didn't mention, but we know is coming, is the change to the ranking system.
Yep.
And the Tauren Chieftain.
I want that already. Now, they had a little tiny patch about a week ago. They did one change to a warrior card, and it was very minor. And then they changed a couple of things, like I think hitting spacebar was allowing people either locking up or all your packs would open up immediately when you were trying to open your new packs.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah. It would get stuck, so you wouldn't be able to see what you got. There was some sort of a glitch that was glitch slapping people with that. My locking up in-game actually happened again today, but it was only minor, and it was actually... I was wanting to look at my collection, so I wasn't even in an active game, and my game completely locked up, so that was another glitch slap. Just a couple here and there, not really a lot. We are going to be talking about something next week that Autumn's Bane kind of tripped over or found from the tournament.
Yeah, apparently, well, if we're going to talk about it next week, we probably shouldn't talk about it now, but the games from the Invitational at BlizzCon have been deconstructed, and we'll talk about that more, but here we have supposedly the best players in the world playing each other, and now we found a bunch of people who were able to pick apart and analyze all of the moves that were made and tell us which were wrong moves and which moves could have been made instead. And that'll be fun to talk about.
It'll be fun to talk about, and definitely will be a good learning experience for people. It was interesting to see if you make mistakes and your opponent makes mistakes, how that actually enters into the end result of the games. So we're going to be talking about that next week. We have a shout out this week.
I do. There's something I want to talk about. You know, in 2006, I got my first iPod as a birthday gift, and shortly after I got it, my friends started telling me about this Warcraft podcast to listen to, and I started listening to that, and I said, oh, let's see if there's others, and I'd have to go look it through iTunes, and I found one that I liked a lot, and so I've been able to listen to a variety of podcasts, but somebody has come up with an idea to make a roundup of all the Warcraft podcasts and put them all on one site, and even has a podcast about it. And apparently, this guy Ro, who I've actually heard before on another podcast, he's been doing this. I'm not sure for how long, but I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, Remedies, someone who started retweeting our posts and advertising for us, so to speak. Publicizing for us. She didn't single us out, she did for other people, but I was very appreciative of it. She joined his staff, and she decided that, you know, she's going to be on the show as well and talk about the Diablo podcasts and the StarCraft podcasts and the upcoming Heroes of the Storm game podcast about that, and of course, Hearthstone. So, lo and behold, our name ended up on their website, showing as one of the Hearthstone podcasts. I think there are, you know, there's a handful, and we're one that's now listed. But as I was looking through the website, I came across episode 67, where our name was mentioned specifically. So I said, oh, I wonder if we're mentioned on the podcast. So I download the podcast and I listen to it, and lo and behold, Remedies is on the show on Realm Maintenance, and she's talking about all these podcasts, and she mentions our new podcast, and she talked about us, and now maybe some of the people listening here heard about it from Remedies on Realm Maintenance. So my shout out is to both Remedies and also Realm Maintenance and Ro, who runs that. I think it's a giant help to the podcasting community for Blizzard games, that you know, people who want to find out about podcasts about the games that they love so much now have a source that they could get them all in one place.
Right, so, thank you both.
Good work, Realm Maintenance. Thank you, Remedies, as well, again, and we really appreciate it.
So we're going to wrap up this evening. Just to remind people, Blizzard is still looking for people to, they just mentioned this recently, they still have openings for people for Hearthstone. So again, if you want the address to the site, do send us an email and we will get you the link. You can find us at A Worthy Opponent on Twitter. You can find us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. That's how you email us, not necessarily find us. You can find us on iTunes and on Facebook at awohearthstone. I am Blacklace.
Hearthstone.
A-W-O Hearthstone. One more time.
A-W-O.
Oh, Hearthstone. Thank you all for listening, and happy hearthing.
Happy hearthing.